Hey, I hope everyone understands the title. Okay, good, we have one. So I do have a question to begin today. And last week was the switch over to daylight savings time, and so we came for our body clocks, according to our circadian rhythms, we came an hour earlier, so we might have felt a little sleepy last week. So let me begin with a simple question. How many of you are asleep? Please raise your hand. If you're asleep, please raise your hand high. Ah, okay, we got one. Let me ask you another question. How many of you feel a bit sleepy? Okay, we have a few. How many of you feel really excited, raring to go, with a Hosanna feeling? Okay, not yet. So we begin with the triumphal entry. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and the crowds are gathering, and they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Can we go to that? That was our call to worship. Can we recite this together? And maybe by way of making sure that we're all awake, can we stand up? Can we recite this together? Ready? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Hosanna means save us. And perhaps here it means more, because if we say something like save us to somebody, we not only are making a request of them, we're ascribing to them the ability to save us. Okay? We're saying something quite strong. Jesus, you can save us. So that crowd was acknowledging Jesus was of some considerable power. And at this point, I just want to make one other note about that event. This was a fairly significant event, at least for those who participated, or at least it's my take on it. And I think I would say it this way, because in addition to this proclamation, it says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Now, think about that for a minute. Someone's going to take off their coat. And the road. I mean, John put a little fork. I said, John put a fork recently cleaned. And this is for, it's not even for Jesus to walk on. This is for his donkey to walk on. I don't think I would have done that unless I thought this was really a big deal. This was an occasion in which I had an advantage. I can go to Macy's, wherever, and get a new coat. It wasn't so easy in those days. And yet the crowds thought it important enough to spread their cloaks out on the road. That was what was happening in the physical. Let's think a moment about what was happening in the spiritual realm. What's happening here? Who is Jesus? He's coming in as the King of the Jews. And the city of Jerusalem is sort of waking from a spiritual slumber. And in the voices of some, at least, is recognizing their king, the Son of David. That is absolutely what this means. This is the king, the rightful heir of the throne. is coming here. And we, as Jerusalem, we'll give you, the voice of Jerusalem is acknowledging, this is our king. We're doing that with our voice and with our cloaks, not to mention the palm branches. And so this is sort of stirring from a spiritual slumber. So now that's where the Z's sort of come from. I'm not sure I've pronounced it that way, but you'll get my take on it later. So this is one important event beginning what we now call Holy Week. That's really the week that between now and Easter that reflects that week in Jesus' life between the triumphal entry and the resurrection. And so that is sort of the marker of the beginning. And it starts with Jerusalem, the capital city of God's chosen people, beginning to recognize Jesus as the King given by God, King of Heaven. Now there's another event, which was from our scripture reading, and that was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus goes to pray. What must be among history's most important and significant of prayers. And he brings his disciples along, and he asks most of them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And then he takes along Peter, James, and John. He says, come with me. And he says to them, now he's brought them along and they're together, and he says, stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus is not asking very much of them. He didn't say, stand here with a sword and guard me with your lives. Just saying, stay here and keep watch with me. And of course, Jesus goes to pray. One of the most amazing prayers, one of the most difficult prayers, maybe one of the most painful prayers. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. And when Jesus returns to Peter, James, and John, he found them sleeping. So even though Jesus had in some sense invited them to be witnesses to one of the most important prayers in all history, they were overcome by sleep. And that's where they were at that particular moment. And so we have these two events. The first, beginning of Holy Week. One, of course, would be a Good Friday event. And now I have a short play for you. I wrote this myself. It really is very short. And I was careful not to use any names in this play of anybody that was here, just so there wouldn't be any accidental implications. So I have to check before we talk about this play, is there anybody here whose name Ichabod? Oh. Well, if you're easily offended, well, we'll leave that alone. Okay, so this play stars Ichabod, and Ichabod's mom. So, Don, if you could. So this is called An Early Morning Conversation. So it begins with mom, who knocks at a bedroom door and says, "Ichabod, it's time to get up." And then there is a response, which comes, Ichabod says, "No problem, Mom." And then Ichabod's mom adds, "Hurry, or you'll miss the bus." And then Ichabod's final response is, Ichabod was overcome by the power of sleep, despite his prompting by his mom to get up and to hurry. I don't know if any of you have ever been part of a conversation, something like that. Now, I know a few of you may have been on mom's side of the conversation, but I suspect almost all of us, and yes, I can remember having those conversations, have been on Ichabod's side of that conversation, where we have been prompted to do something, and somehow our consciousness is bubbling up and trying to break through, and yes, we respond that we will do it, and then by the time our brain gets around to telling our body to get out of bed, somehow it doesn't happen. And we just slip back into sleep. Jesus I should have done something else. So let me take 1 second to go back. So the triumph entry is in verse 21, not verse, chapter 21 of Matthew. So I'm going to ask this section over here to remember 21. That's all you got to do. Remember 21, chapter 21. Now, Jesus has something to say about these things in chapter 23. So I'm going to ask the center section, just remember 23. That's all you got to do. Remember chapter 23, okay? So chapter 23, verses 37 through 39, Jesus speaks to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So this occurs in the middle of the Holy Week. And Jesus is saying, even though, you know, there's a big crowd came out and greeted me and said, Hosanna, Hosanna, and laid down their cloaks and allowed the donkey to walk over them. Jerusalem was not waking up. Jerusalem was falling back into spiritual sleep, spiritual slumber. And where do we see that, and how do we know what the outcome was? Well, let me remind you in, 21, 23, everyone over here, 27. Remember 27, chapter 27. Chapter 27, verses 21 to 23. This is Pilate, the Roman governor, speaking to a crowd which had was seeking to have Jesus crucified. And he gives them a choice. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. And they all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Now, the question has been asked, well, was it really the same folks who said Hosanna, who came back later and said crucify him? I couldn't tell you. The Bible doesn't say. But it was the voice of the same city. It was the voice of Jerusalem. The first voice of a mind being awakened spiritually, of beginning to recognize that her king, sent by God, as a savior, was coming. And here, at this point, the voice of the city, the voice that mattered, was saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Of course, we'll save the rest of the story for next Sunday. But you may recognize that we've maybe not too expertly woven several different stories together here. There's a story here of the city of Jerusalem, and we have the story of the disciples. And then we have another story which is crucial to us, and that's our story. So I'll go back to the question I asked at the beginning. Is there anybody here who's sleeping? Ephesians 5:14 tells us, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And that's a message which comes to us through the centuries, but is still very much alive today as it was back then. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's a message to us all to wake, to recognize when God is acting, when he is coming into our lives, when he is proclaiming his son as king in our lives, when he is saying to us, "Here is salvation." And we have the opportunity to cry out, "Hosanna, save us." Now, there is a possibility that we would feel defeated, because we can recognize in ourselves, like the disciples must have recognized in themselves, the tendency to fall asleep spiritually. Jesus said to them very simply, "Watch with me." You know, it wasn't a big request. It was the kind of request we expect of God and can expect of God, that he will be with us, that he will be a companion, that he will be a support. And for this one time, Jesus said to the disciples, "Watch with me," and they fell asleep. And they knew it, and they were guilty. But it is crucial we don't let that sense of guilt become a tool in Satan's hands. Because Jesus knew their weakness. He knew their lack of a capacity to watch with him. And even though it was indeed one of the most difficult of times for Jesus on this earth, he was forgiving. And we could go back and read it again, and we recognize Jesus was just like the mom that knew that Ichabod was going to fall asleep. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." And the conclusion is verse 16, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So indeed, we are the sleepers. We easily fall asleep. And Jesus knows, and Jesus understands, and he calls us to be awake. He calls us to arise, to shine. But he is there to help us. He's there to give us grace. He's there to give us strength. And the message of the Easter season, which is also the message of the Christmas season, is God is coming to help us. God is coming to save. God is coming to empower. God is coming to make us his, to arise and shine. So I'd like us to do one final thing, at least for the sermon today. Could everybody grab your bulletin? Hopefully you have a bulletin. I don't actually have one with me right now. On the front of your bulletin, you'll find a scripture, Isaiah 60 and 1. And let me ask the music worship team to come forward for the responsive hymn. But as they're coming, can we all rise? And let us read together Isaiah 61. Let us proclaim this to one another. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Amen.